Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we flesh out the statement, "The righteous shall live by his faith." But first, let's pray. Eternal God, your Spirit inspired those who wrote the Bible and enlightens us to hear your word fresh each day. Help us to rely always on your promises in Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have two readings from the book of Habakkuk. The first one is chapter 1, verse 1 to 4, and the second one is from chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And I'm reading from the NIV. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. From chapter 2. I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me, and what answer I am to give to this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets, so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. See, he is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous will live by his faith. May God bless his word to us today and always. The righteous shall live by their faith. Perhaps we can put it in a different way. The righteous shall live because of their faith, shall endure because of their faith. This may imply that endurance, the ability to survive, or to live with a sense of God's purpose and a future, is hampered by a lack of faith. In any case, our reading in Habakkuk begins with a cry from the prophet to God concerning the apparent success of the wicked. Here he is referring to the conquering Babylonians. When Habakkuk says in chapter 1 verse 4 that the law is paralyzed, it appeared to him that the effectiveness of God's laws and how they impacted their own society were rendered powerless against the invading Babylonians. The whole world was colored by unchecked violence, injustice, wrongdoing, destruction, and conflict. God responds in chapter 1 verse 5 to 11 saying that he is raising up the Babylonians whose cruel power is being felt by the Israelites for their sins, their unfaithfulness to God. In chapter 1 verse 12 to 17 the prophet renews his complaint but with a difference. He acknowledges the success of the Babylonians as an act of God's judgment against Israel. But he would like to know when their cruelty towards Israel will also be judged, because by comparison, Israel's enemies are as wicked, if not more wicked, than they are. God responds in our second reading in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 5, telling Habakkuk to write the vision God will give him down. It is a vision telling how God will finally act against Israel's enemies, the Babylonians. Despite what feels like a long delay, the fulfillment of the vision will be accomplished in its proper time. And in the meantime, what is to be done? The righteous will live by his faith. For our purposes, how should we understand the statement, "the righteous will live by his faith"? This term appears in the New Testament in a slightly modified form in Romans chapter 1 verse 17 and Galatians chapter 3 verse 11 and also in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38, where it says, "the just shall live by faith." In the prophet Habakkuk's context, God was saying that the righteous, that is, the one who is in covenant with and faithful to Yahweh, will survive the experience of this hardship, the condition being that they continue to trust in him completely and live and act like they trust him completely. But all through the ages, people want the security of salvation or a future without the requirement of a change on their part. In other words, they would like a savior, but not a lord. But for the righteous to live by their faith implies a sound understanding of having been rescued by God from the consequence of our sinful condition, and then called to live in a particular way, which demonstrates that we are not only God's rescued people, but that we belong to Him. And this has always been the case. So when we talk about the first part, being rescued, in the Old Testament it entailed acknowledging one's sinful condition and observing the law by faith so that one could be saved. For us today, it means we too acknowledge our sinful condition, and by faith it is through Christ alone we are saved. And the consequence of our sinful condition, which we are saved from, is the wrath of God that is to come. And God's wrath exists in the face of sinful behavior. It did in Habakkuk's time and still exists today. Having said that, it is important that we tease out the word wrath, because it is a misunderstood term. Among the many resources that speak in the same way, Harper's Bible Dictionary is most helpful. It says, "Wrath is a word denoting the active feeling of God against sin, expressing in human categories an important attribute of God, that He is holy and righteous, and rejects everything that is not, that is, holy and righteous. This rejection is real and is recorded in God's dealings with the Israelites and other nations in the Old Testament, and our text is a clear example of that. Furthermore, the wrath of God is thus a divine reaction to human provocation, not an arbitrary passion or animosity. Even in this reaction, God is slow to anger. The Old Testament emphasizes that He is merciful and gracious, abounding in steadfast love. The mission of Jesus was to take the wrath of God upon Himself. That is the meaning of salvation in the New Testament. Since the time when Jesus was sent into the world, only those who do not believe and do not obey have to worry about the wrath of God. And so we are saved from God's judgment and brought into new life in Christ. And this moves us from the first part of being rescued to the second part, namely, how shall we live as God's rescued people? Salvation, or being rescued, is followed by God's call for us to change the way that we live and exist before Him and the world, since God will not be Savior only, and forego or waive His lordship. Meaning, God comes to save and also to direct our lives according to His will in Scripture. We can't have one without the other. Jesus is both Lord and Savior. And it may well be that Lord comes before Savior in His title, because lordship implies divinity and rulership, and out of that position flows salvation. And this is hardly an unfair arrangement, nor is it, by the way, negotiable. Neither is it arduous. In fact, it is life-giving and liberating for us. Thus, knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior means to continually strive to live obediently in terms of God's revealed will in Scripture. It's a natural response to God's gracious gift of redemption. A good example of this in the New Testament is Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, who, in Luke chapter 19, verse 1-10, has an encounter with Jesus. It is a significant moment for Zacchaeus. He receives the message of the good news of the gospel and immediately is transformed, saying to Jesus, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." To be sure, salvation was not granted upon the generous announcement of Zacchaeus. Rather, his salvation produced a God-directed response to make right the wrongs he had committed. Here already we see Habakkuk's statement to be true. The person who responds to God in complete trust for his salvation will not only survive, but will live a transformed life in witness to the God who saves. Change, or transformation, is part of what it means to live in covenant relationship with God. And so, with reference to our reading at Habakkuk, the view of one commentator is, in contrast to the perverse and the falsely proud, the righteous will live by his faith, For his deeds conform to God's revealed will, and they are a credit to him and a model to the world. The Hebrew word for righteous has a breadth of meaning, including the status of being justified, vindicated before God himself. As we draw to a close then, Habakkuk's words are as relevant as ever, because it has to do with the way we conduct our natural lives here on earth as God's people. Through every experience, whether good or bad, the righteous live by their faith. So while there are times that we feel as though we are being sorely tried, that corrupt and evil people seem to always be getting away with their deeds, even prospering, just like in Habakkuk's day, we need to know that God is faithful, that he cares and knows our every struggle, our every heartache, and that no one will escape being accountable to him in the end. And we must hold on tenaciously to Scripture, assuring us of God's unfailing love and attention. The tenacity with which we are able to do so comes from putting in the time of praying for God to intervene, filling our hearts with God's Word, and from sharing in life together with the rest of God's people through all the ups and downs, at the same time looking to God who saves and provides. It is in the consistent practice in faith of the small, seemingly mundane things that we develop the ability to survive, to bear up under the great difficulties that may come, and through them to learn that God is faithful, reliable, and completely trustworthy. A righteous person, one who trusts in God through Christ, lives and does things in this world in response to God, not circumstances. And that response is not made in an uninformed way or in a vacuum. It comes from that inner witness that we have been redeemed, as well as having experienced that the promises of God in Scripture are trustworthy. These are all the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives, and this is what it means for the righteous to live by their faith. May God then help us to live well in this way. And so, let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, the psalmist boldly stated that the statutes you have laid down are righteous, they are fully trustworthy. Grant us the grace to say with him that your promises have been thoroughly tested and your servant loves them. Though I am lowly and despised, I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is everlasting and your law is true. Trouble and distress may come upon me, but your commands are my delight. May our lives reflect such faith in you to save and deliver in the face of every circumstance, and as we do, may others be drawn to the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we ask it in his name. Amen. And God bless you.